This is TWiT.
When I first got there, I got called into this meeting in the boardroom, and Steve was there. And I was sitting next to Chris Espinoza, you know, and I'm like, wow, what am I doing here? But apparently Steve was reviewing everything, and he was talking about it. And he goes, and he laid it out to us right there in that meeting. He said, we're going to beat these people, and we're going to beat them by moving faster. We're going to out-innovate them, outmaneuver them, out-deliver them.
Who was them? Microsoft?
Everybody that we had to compete with. Right? Everybody we had to compete with. Everybody that thought we were going to die.
Yeah.
And he had a fire in his eyes, right?
He wanted to save Apple.
Oh, yeah. And so
actually, he felt very strongly that Apple had screwed the pooch for the last 10 years. And thank God they brought me back. Right? Didn't he?
I'm glad he got back too, because it changed everything.
Yes.
So I turned to Espinoza and I said, when was the last time you were in a meeting with Steve? And you know, if you
Espinoza is one of the original Mac engineers.
He has a brain that's like a machine. And he goes, oh, it was like April 13th, blah, blah, blah. And I said, so what's the difference? And he goes, they're not trying to get rid of him.
Big difference.
So it's a big difference.
Now, he was at that point the CEO, and they kept pretending that this is just temporary, I'm advising. But they had acquired Next. And, you know, we've seen recently.
Well, this was actually before that.
This was even before they acquired Next.
Yeah, this is when he just got back.
What, they brought him as a consultant?
I don't even know if he had taken on a specific title.
They said, come in, Steve, we're dying, please help.
And change the company. And at that time, Apple was like a lot of companies where you had little fiefdoms where you know people were in charge of their little thing and they weren't working as a cohesive unit. Right. And Steve was a very strong king.
He was a holistic guy too. He thought it had to be a whole. It couldn't be little
And he just
bits.
Said, well, you know, this is where we're going. I'm sorry your stuff's going to get cut, but it's getting cut. If you don't want to do that, fine. Get somebody else. We're going this way. And the product managers, like myself, had a role to play in that mobility of turning that ship.
Yes.
Guys like Mitchell Weinstock, who was the product manager for QuickTime, masterful at giving it at marketing a technology way beyond just him doing that. He looked like an entire organization of 50 people. Wow. You know, you had Richard Ford, who was handling all the network stuff. And he was a master at running things through the system. He could get them through the system very quickly. And then there was Eric Zelenka, who was one of the most amazing product managers I ever met. The guy took over macOS 10 server and just turned that in from a raw lump of coal into this fantastic thing. He was consummate inside guy. So being a product manager was like, there was only a handful. There was like maybe 10 of us in the company at the time.
So you're at this meeting. All the project managers are there. And Steve is at this point, is Steve at this point wielding an axe?
Well, Steve had started wielding the axe since he got there. I mean, every day you would hear people fall off the roof. It'd be like, splat, all day long. You know, he would work his way through, it was the cluster of buildings.
But it needed to be done.
Yeah. And the first time I met Steve, we got in a fight.
Well, this is the story I heard, was that he didn't think much of what you were up to.
No, it wasn't that he didn't think much of what
you needed to justify your existence.
Yeah, so Steve basically fired our vice president in front of us, and called all of product marketing into town hall, and our VP says goodbye, and then Steve starts, raving on us, telling us that
you're
you don't know what you're doing.
You're idiots.
It was easier when we were 100 times better than Windows, but now that we're not, you don't know what to do. And so I said to him, the first words I ever said to Steve were, no, you're wrong. And he spins around and he looks at me and he goes, and you are?
This is in town hall.
In town hall.
In front of everybody else.
Yeah.
And you stood up and said, no, you're wrong, to Steve Jobs.
Yeah. My first words to Steve were, no, you're wrong. And he spins around and looks at me and says, and you are? I said, I'm Sal Segoyan. I'm the AppleScript product manager. No, you're wrong. My technology is many times better than Windows. And he goes, well, that's not what, you know, they've been telling me. And then we just, we went at it in front of everybody. I look over and there's my boss, like Peter Lowe, looking at me commit employee seppuku in front of everybody.
Well, what's your choice, right? You either you convince him this is a great product, or you don't. You're not going to be working there anyway.
So what Steve was doing, it turns out, so we fought for a couple of minutes, and then he goes on to something else.
And what are you saying? Well, like, give me an example. Like, is he saying?
Well, he said, you know, nobody's using this stuff. And I said, that's absolutely wrong. I said, all of the companies are depending on this. We use this. All of our big customers, small customers use this. And he goes, well, that's not what I've heard. And I said, well, you guys are lying to you. And so, you know, we just went at it.
I guarantee you. That's exactly what he wanted from you.
It was. What he was looking for, he was being like this on purpose to see who in the room
would
push back on him.
Yeah.
And, you know, after that.
Did you know that, or did you see red? What was it that gave you permission to say, Steve, you're wrong?
Well, I figured it this way. You know, Apple asked me to join. I might be a dog on my square yard of dirt, but, you know, I know every piece of that square yard, and you're on my square yard of dirt, and I'm going to bite your leg off.
And I know what I'm talking about.
And I know what I'm talking about. And he was wrong.
And you need to hear this.
And so he went on to something else, and then he tested somebody else. And I figured out, oh, he's testing to see who he has to work with. And everybody that fought him back stayed, and the rest of the people left, right? Basically is how it worked. And so after that, he liked me.
Yeah.
Yeah, and
I would too.
So, but
you want guys that are going to tell you the truth. You don't want some schmuck who's going to tell you what you want to hear.
Yeah. And Steve got automation very quickly.
Did he?
Oh, absolutely. Steve was an ally and an advocate of automation. He didn't necessarily understand all the different details about writing the code and everything, but he understood its importance and its role and why it was necessary for customers to have that option. And while he was there, we got resources that we needed consistently. He made sure that we had the resources we needed to advance the technology with each system release.
Yes.
And
it did. It got better and better.
It got better and better.